All right. Well, welcome, guys. Welcome to Hope Church. Welcome, Hope at Home. We are in our series called Fruitful, right? And the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about peace this week. I hope all you grads get some sort of gift. Are you going to be getting any gifts? You think? A lot of gifts? Good gifts? Good. You got to get a gift when you're a grad. When I was a senior in high school, I asked my dad for a graduation gift. It was to take me deep sea fishing. That's what I wanted to do. So we went out to Sausalito, just across from San Francisco Bay, and off we went under the Golden Gate Bridge, ready for adventure to begin. And that day, there were 20 to 30 foot swells in the ocean. Ladies and gentlemen, that is about the same distance as this floor to that ceiling right there. Those were some big swells. And let's just say both my dad and I could tell you what we ate for breakfast that morning. All right? It was mangoes. Yeah, not the fruit of the Spirit we were hoping for here this morning, huh? Every time I see a mango, I remember that story because we chummed that water. I'll tell you. And maybe that's why we caught so many fish. I don't know, but it worked. Now, aside from the captain and the crew, I would say that we were all really inexperienced fishermen on those particular waters. Okay? Haven't been on those waters much. And yet, even though we had a boat full of sick people and 25-foot swells, wow, I mean, it was crazy. Nobody was afraid. Nobody on the boat was afraid. No one feared for their lives. We all couldn't wait to get back, right? But we felt pretty secure on our 50-foot boat. But I have another story for you today about some really, really experienced fishermen on some well-acquainted waters, and they were afraid for their lives. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, if you have your Bibles with you, and starting in verse 22. While you're getting there, this story is also in Matthew 8 and in Mark chapter 4, if you're interested in looking into it further after this morning. But Luke chapter 8, verse 22, Luke records this. He says, one day, I love how Luke starts this story. One day, like which day? Just one day. Like it happened so unexpectedly, right? Kind of like life does, right? One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus takes a nap right here in Scripture. Much deserved. Amen. That's a pastor talking right there. That actually makes sense because we're talking about the Sea of Galilee. And although it's a good-sized lake, it's still small compared to many other lakes, and small enough to cross over with a little hard rowing and to still have a little bit of daylight left at the end of the day. It's only about 13 miles long and about 7 miles across. And it was also surrounded by hills, and it sat at a very low elevation, which is why it was known more for its tranquility year-round and only for its occasional big storm. Okay, more so known for its tranquility. So basically, you could count on crossing pretty safely. People did it all the time, and so were the disciples. Hence, Jesus fell asleep. It was a peaceful ride. Verse 23, midway through, it says, a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. Now, a squall is a sudden storm with a burst of wind speed that becomes powerful within just a few minutes. It's very unexpected, and it can put you in immediate grave danger. Winds up to 85 miles an hour, heavy rain, large hail kind of storm. Verse 24, the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. Now, these were very experienced fishermen. Okay, not a father and son out in Sausalito, right? Very experienced fishermen, and they were terrified. So you know this was a bad storm, not what they were used to. But the real focus of this story is in the next verse. And of course, Jesus turns to them and says, "You guys okay? Wow, that was a big storm. You don't see that every day out here on Galilee." Is that what he says? No, that's not what he says. Verse 25, he turns to them and he says, "Where is your faith?" This is a big storm. And he says, "Where is your faith?" He asked his disciples. And almost as if they didn't even hear a word he said, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." I think Mark's account, the Gospel of Mark, is worth mentioning here. In his account, the disciples had just heard a whole bunch of preaching, most of which was about faith in God, which is really what most preaching is about. And Mark mentions them leaving to cross the lake in the evening time. I mean, that's a little scary. Sun's going down. And Mark records the disciples waking up Jesus, and as the waves are crashing over the sides of the boat, they say, "Don't you care about us? Don't you care if we drown out here?" Sounds like a legitimate freak out, doesn't it? And it is. Have you ever had one of those? Kind of a freak out moment? Grads, are you having that right now? Maybe not. You will soon. But how can they even say that when he's right there with them in the storm? One thing we must all determine in our lives is that going through hardship never means Jesus doesn't care about us. It's not what it means. Life will be filled with suddenlies. Life will be filled with one days. One day I graduated, and suddenly the world was at my fingertips. One day I got married, and suddenly we had 3 kids. Right? Is that not how it happened? It happened that way. One day I got a job, and suddenly I was climbing to the top, until one day I was let go. Life is filled with suddenlies. One day I was young, and suddenly I got old. Anyone experience that? That's right. Jackie's always got one more on me. He does. He's lived a little longer than me. He's a wise man. One day I was planning for retirement, and suddenly I got sick. One day I stood at the altar, then suddenly she left me. One day he was there, then suddenly he was gone. One day I had my mom, then suddenly I didn't. Or I had my dad, then suddenly I didn't. You get the point. Things change suddenly. Life will be filled with squalls, and there is one with your name on it. I can guarantee you that. Now, the disciples were astonished by the power Jesus had over this storm. But Jesus is more concerned with the faith that we carry through the storm. Why is that? Why does that part of the story matter the most here? Because what will truly sink your ship will be this one thing. Not the storms of life, but the lack of faith in Jesus Christ. That's what matters. I had a gentleman call me this week on the phone. He reached out to a random church. He was from Kansas City. He got me. His marriage fell apart. He wanted to know what to do. And I said, do you know the Lord? He said, don't convert me. I don't want Jesus. I just want to know what to do. That's what our conversation was. This is what will sink your ship, a lack of faith in Jesus Christ. I felt like this story of Jesus calming the storm was important to share this morning in our series on the fruit of the Spirit as we talk about the fruit of peace in our lives. I want you to imagine for a moment that the Bible ended right here. Right? Headline news. Messiah drowns at sea in massive squall. Does that sound silly? Yeah. What's even more silly is to have the fear that the wind and the waves around us are somehow going to overpower the will of God in our lives. It's not going to happen. God has you in His hands. We have to have peace like that. Let's read from Psalm chapter 89. Starting in verse 9, it says, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Pretty amazing. That was written 1,000 years before this scene. What then is the key to having peace in our lives? With all this craziness going on in the world, the key is to trust in God. Now think about your relationships today. There are people who right now you think you can trust. And then there are people you know you can trust, right? If you don't know the difference with God, then you're probably not experiencing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God. Do you know you can trust God through anything? And if you don't know that, you probably have a lot of inner turmoil brewing inside your heart like a storm, like many people do. And those storms, you know how they go. They manifest in many different ways and in all shapes and sizes. And some are sudden bursts of anger. And we find ourselves getting up to 85 miles an hour very quickly. And some brew just a little bit longer. And some are fits of jealousy. And some are hatred. And some are addictive. And some defy God's word altogether. But all of them are going to leave damage behind without the peace of God entering into your heart. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Something we all need to understand is that we will never fully understand everything that is happening around us in life. Who can say why things suddenly happen? Who can say when and where and how certain, you know, things happen to people who are just trying to, you know, just get through life, you know, rowing across, you know, the difficulties of life, the little hard work? What must we do in this life? The Apostle Paul, in a letter to the church, wrote this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful." Some of us, even now, are letting the storms of life rule in our hearts. Instead, we have to learn to let the peace of Christ rule. And that means letting the peace of Christ rule over the storms. See that? That means looking at that thing that is trying to drag you down to the bottom and rebuking it in the name of Jesus. You tell it can't have you because you belong to the one who is all powerful. And then it means putting your trust completely in the name of Jesus. Isn't it so wonderful that he so quickly rebuked the storm? He's like, "No, you're not going to take my disciples today." He was in full control. And why is that so important in our lives? Because storms come and go. They come and go. In fact, a storm came and went, a couple of them already today. I think it's done, is it? For now, exactly, preach it, brother. It's done for now. One came and went this morning at about 3:50 a.m. I'm up early on Sundays, just so you know. But don't text me before 8, okay? I'm up early on Sundays all the time. I'll probably follow Jesus' example and take a nap a little later, right? But I went outside this morning to just hear it. And I could hear the deep rumble. Don't you love that? As it moves through. And I went outside to watch for a few minutes. And you know what I saw? I saw lightning fill the entire sky. And I heard the sound of thunder in the distance. And it's like that deep bass, you know, that vibrates right through your chest. And you know what else I saw? I saw these two little birds. Yeah. These two little birds just hanging out on this wire. From my little post, beep, 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 over to the neighbor's post. And they're just singing. They're just singing 3:50. I'm like, "Are you serious?" It's way too early for that. They're just out there singing. They didn't even care. They didn't care about the storm. They weren't worried about it at all. Lightning filled the sky, didn't bother him. And just like that, his peace has to fill our hearts when the waves get high in our lives. That's what we need. And we have to allow that kind of peace in. What does that mean? It means, once again, as we've talked about these other fruits, it means, once again, this is something that comes from outside of us. This kind of peace doesn't naturally live in people like it seemed to in those little birds Right? We have a whole bunch to worry about. Anybody worried about stuff? We have a whole bunch to worry about. And rightfully so. And it doesn't make any earthly sense to not be terrified in a squall on a little boat that's about to capsize. It makes sense that they were afraid, right? But it also makes sense that we obtain a peace then that is not from us. It comes from somewhere else. See, this is what the Bible teaches us. It comes from somewhere else. Let me prove it. Jesus is saying here, as he's about to leave this world, the night before his death, he says this in John chapter 14. Let me just read it. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you." Wow. This other advocate that he's talking about, the Spirit of truth, will be in you. He is named in verse 26. Let's put that up, John 14, 26. He says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." These are the words of Jesus the night before he died on a cross. And yet he says, "I'm leaving peace behind. I'm leaving peace with you." There was a much bigger storm on the morning horizon for Jesus. Because as he's saying those words, at that very minute, he was being sold into the hands of his enemies. His arrest was being meticulously plotted, step by step, accusation by accusation. He would be forsaken by his own followers before the sun came up. He would be rejected by his own people, mocked and humiliated and tortured, and then executed before the next day was over. It was the sudden squall. It was the raging storm of God's judgment against all humanity that violently came down on him alone. Wow. He took all that. He endured all that. And like a little lamb to the slaughter, he was crucified. Submitting himself to death on a cross. And that's how he secured peace for us. When you look at this word peace, the word is eirene. It's the Greek word for peace. And here's what it means. When you translate it, it comes from the word, basically, security. It means security. It means assured safety, as in secured borders with no way for the enemy to get in. And a hope for a future nation of flourishing people. This is how the word was used. There is a peace between nations and people, and there's no fear of war. Right? So think about peace from war and secure borders rather than calm waters here. That's what it actually means. Jesus calmed the waters to show us his power over creation, yes. But that was so that we can trust him with the rest of our lives. But his goal was to end something else. His goal was to end the war that rages in our hearts. That war that goes on. That war that you and I both know can get stirred up like a squall. That sudden temptation. That sudden urge to sin. That sudden anxiety. That sudden depression. That sudden lapse that wants to take over your life. But more importantly, to take over your faith. Do you know what the enemy's after? Say it. Your faith. He's after your faith. He came to end the raging sea of sin in all of us and to bring us across safely to experience the peace of salvation in Him. And that same peace He gives to us. Why? So that we can have peace through all circumstances, through anything you face. He's secured that peace for you. That's actually what it means to experience the peace of God. It is about living with no more fear about what's going to happen next. If you're still living in fear like these disciples were, Jesus is saying this morning, where's your faith? Where is your faith? Let's stir up your faith, right? Out of life's circumstances. If you're still living in fear, I'm not sure if you have fully experienced the fruit of the Spirit in this way. And I just want to say there's more for you. So let's stir up your faith. The real indicator of the fruit of the Spirit is not whether you're having no troubles. And it's not whether you're sailing on peaceful waters. But whether or not you can carry the peace of God with you head on into the storms of life. Amen. To the graduates, I want to say well done. Good job. You've worked hard. But listen, some things will be completely out of your power. Right? But they are completely in His power. And your current dreams that you have may get smashed upon the rocks. And you may not end up exactly where you thought you would be. Just look at me. I'm in Arkansas. Seriously, I grew up in California. But I love it here. It's great. Thank you, Lord, for putting me through all that stuff to get me where I was supposed to be. You'll look back and thank Him. You will. You will. But I want you to keep on rowing through the storm. And above all, continue to put your trust in Him and not in the circumstances that come. Amen? He'll carry you through to the destination. And to everyone today, I want to say this. If you have a nice life right now and you have a good retirement and you have a lot of nice things, that's awesome. You've probably worked really hard for that. That's awesome. But consider this today, okay? How is that any different from what someone may have who doesn't know God? I'm simply saying that what you have is not the best indicator that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. But if you can trust in the Lord through hardship, this is the better indicator that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, that the fruit of peace is being produced in you. Jesus doesn't promise no hardship, right? He said in John 16, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You can have this gift of peace today. This gift of the Holy Spirit. Beginning today. If you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you have to accept His terms of peace. That your sin has been paid for. That you have been redeemed. And forgiven. Bought back. Saved from going down to the depths of the sea. And you can put your trust in Jesus Christ today. Now, I'm going to ask for the worship team to come and sing one last song for us. And while that's happening, I want to challenge you this morning with something a little different than what we're used to. Let's get out of what we're used to for a minute. I'm going to ask you to consider the raging storm in your heart today. What is that? You know what it is. What is that thing? What are those things? What are those things you need to stop worrying about? What are those things you need to allow the peace of God to rule over? Amen? And I want to ask you to consider coming to the altar today and to lay those down and to ask God to rule over the storm. Amen. I'll be here waiting for you.